These complex and conflicting gender expectations have something significant to do with attitudes there and in other parts of the world toward male homosexuality. The greatest difficulty in many cultures, including parts of North American society, is the perception that one of the partners in such a union must be acting like a woman, and that is most definitely not a socially desirable status. It is an attitude directly involved in the handful of scriptural references to male homosexuality in the Hebrew Bible. The New Testament references have more to do with abusive and exploitative behavior. All of which is to suggest that all of us read scripture through the lenses we have, our cultural norms, our scientific understanding, and our theological understanding of the purpose of marriage. We also privilege particular parts of scripture in the way we build our lectionaries. One morning at worship at the Primates meeting, we heard the reading from Corinthians that says women should be quiet in church and ask their husbands at home if they have questions. It was followed by the gospel passage that recounts Salome and Herodias' request for the head of John the Baptist. I don't believe that section of the gospel alone is ever read at the Episcopal Church, because there is precious little good news in it. I had one other pertinent encounter in Fort Worth, Texas after the Primates meeting. I was greeting a long line of people at the end of the day of the reorganizing convention for the diocese. I spoke with a man in a wheelchair who appeared to have had a stroke. The next person in line began by telling me that the guy in the wheelchair was a retired obstetrician gynecologist, and that, quote, "he's the most interesting gay man I know, and I'm proud to call him a friend," rather than an unusual conversation starter. Then he went on to say, "all of this is really about male supremacy, isn't it?" His words, not mine, but worth consideration.